Marvin Moore has written this article in the August 2013 issue of Signs of the Times. It is entitled, God Show and Tell. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. Teachers sometimes have children bring objects to school to show their classmates. Marvin Moore points out that God did something similar for ancient Israel. Your narrator is Calvin Follett. God had a problem. Of course, God has lots of problems, and of course, he always solves them. The interesting thing about God is not whether he'll solve a problem, but how he'll do it. He comes up with the most unusual ways of doing things, which is why it never pays to fret about your prayers not being answered, because they probably were, and you just didn't catch on. But back to God and his problem. Thanks to the devil, we humans got ourselves into a terrible mess a few thousand years ago. It's called sin and death. The devil laughed because he thought he'd come up with a problem God couldn't solve. But God did solve it, and every Christian knows the solution. Jesus gave his own life in place of ours, then rose from the dead and went back to heaven to ask God to forgive us. Eventually, he plans to rid the entire universe of sin and put the devil away forever. Put yourself in God's place. You've worked out this marvelous solution to the sin problem, and now you need to let people know about it. Oh, you've told them about the Messiah, who will come and save them someday, but words don't seem to be enough. Somehow, you've got to get the idea across that sin means death, that someone must die so that they can live. How will you teach that? How will you make it seem real? Actually, God decided to do more than tell people about his solution. He decided to show them. We can call God's plan his show and tell, the greatest show and tell in the history of the world. God's answer to the problem had three parts, and he gave a fairly detailed illustration for each one. The cross was fresh history for Paul, and so it was easy for him to say, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2. But the people who lived before Christ's time knew nothing of his life and death. God could have told them about the cross, but he had a better way. He showed them. God instructed anyone who had a sin to confess and to bring an animal to the sanctuary and offer it as a sacrifice. Imagine yourself as a wealthy rancher 3,000 years ago who cheats to the tune of $10,000 on King David's income tax for 1 year. You get away with it, but a few years later your conscience still smarts, and you decide to make things right with the Israelite IRS. After paying the $10,000 plus the penalty, you choose a sheep from your flock, tie a rope around its neck, and lead it to the sanctuary. A tent made of animal skins and set in the middle of the courtyard with cloth walls. A large bronze altar stands about midway between the entrance of the courtyard and the sanctuary. Smoke rises from the altar, and you wrinkle your nose at the smell of burning flesh. A white-robed priest steps up and asks, "May I help you?" You explain your situation, and the two of you walk to the bronze altar. Laying your hands on the sheep's head, you say, I repent of cheating King David out of $10,000 of income tax 5 years ago. By this act, you transfer your sin to the sheep. Now the priest hands you a knife, and you hold the blade under the sheep's throat for a few seconds. Then pressing its sharp edge to the sheep's jugular vein, you bring it up with a swift stroke. The sheep bleats a little, and the priest catches the blood in a basin. A few minutes later, the sheep wobbles and then slumps into your arms. It died for your sin. The priest dips his fingers in the blood and sprinkles it on the altar. Then he skins the sheep, cuts its body into pieces, and lays the pieces on the altar to burn. His last words ring in your ears as you walk back out the gate. God has forgiven your sin. This was God's show and tell. He didn't just tell people that someone must die for their sins to be forgiven. He had them act it out. Of course, God never intended the people to think of sheep as their Savior. Rather, they were to see in them a representation of the Messiah, whose death would truly pay for their sins, illustrating Christ as the mediator. Let's look at the second part of God's show and tell. To do this, you must go inside the sanctuary. On entering, you discover that it has two rooms. The first room is called the Holy Place, and the second one is the Most Holy Place. When you enter the holy place, you see on your left a golden lampstand with seven branches, and a flame flickers on the wick at the end of each branch. To the right, you see a low table, like a modern coffee table, on which have been placed two piles of cakes, six to a pile. The cakes look something like pancakes. Straight ahead is a waist-high, gold-covered altar. The priest stands before the altar, burning incense on it, and sprinkling the blood from the recent sacrifice on the curtain that hangs just beyond the altar. The curtain stretches from wall to wall, but doesn't quite reach the ceiling. You notice angels embroidered into its fabric. A bright light shines over the top of the veil, and the priest beckons you to see where it comes from. He pulls back the veil, and you enter the most holy place. Normally, only the high priest is allowed to enter this room, and he only once in a year. But of course, this is an imaginary trip. Once inside the veil, you see the gold-covered box, about the size of a modern cedar chest. Two golden angels are standing on its top, facing each other. This box, with its angels, is called the Ark of the Covenant. The light that you saw shining over the veil seems to come from between the angels, and it almost blinds you. The priest tells you that the light is God's visible presence. The priest opens the ark, and inside you see God's Ten Commandments on tables of stone. This is another part of God's show and tell. But what does it mean? From the New Testament, and especially from the books of Hebrews and Revelation, we discover that the entire inner complex of the sanctuary, the holy place and the most holy place, represents God's throne room in heaven. The lampstands represent the Holy Spirit. The table, with its two stacks of bread, represents Jesus Christ, the bread of life. The burning incense represents the prayers of God's people as they ascend to God. And the Ark of the Covenant represents God's throne. When a priest entered the sanctuary to sprinkle blood on the veil, he represented Christ entering heaven after his resurrection to appear in God's presence, pleading before God for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9 verse 24 says, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. In 1 John 2 verse 1, we read, If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The second part of God's show and tell for ancient Israel showed that the Messiah would plead before God for the forgiveness of their sins. The third part illustrates the elimination of sin. To understand this, you must take another imaginary trip, but this time you'll have to wait till the Day of Atonement, which is the high point of the Jewish religious year. Early in the morning, the high priest takes two goats and draws straws over them. He sets one goat aside as the Lord's goat, and the other becomes the scapegoat. The priest offers the Lord's goat as a sacrifice, catching some of its blood in the basin. He re-enters the most holy place and sprinkles the blood seven times upon the Ark of the Covenant. Then he goes back outside and sprinkles the goat's blood seven times on the altar of sacrifice. Next, the priest lays his hands on the scapegoat's head and confesses over it all the sins of the people. Then he ties a rope around its neck and hands it off to a rugged-looking man who leads the goat into the wilderness. When he returns without the goat, the people know that their sins have been removed from them forever. God says that He casts our sins into the depths of the sea and removed them from us as far as the east is from the west, Micah 7 verse 19 and Psalm 103 verse 12. The Day of Atonement was God's show and tell, picturing for the Israelites how the Messiah's death and His ministry in God's temple in heaven will eventually eliminate sin from our world and indeed from the entire universe. God could have just told the Israelites all about this, but instead He chose to give them a show and tell, symbols through which they could act out His plan of salvation. I think God's idea was much better than anything any of us could have dreamed up.